Now hear these words from the Gospel according to Matthew, the 24th chapter, beginning with verse 36. But about that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away, so too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. May these words be the word of God to us on this day. Let us pray. Now prepare us, O God, to receive what the Spirit is saying to the church. Plant your word deeply within us, we pray, that it might grow into faith, and that our lives might bear witness to your grace and your love in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, again, welcome to the season of Advent. In fact, we could say to one another around the room, Happy New Year, because this is the beginning of the church year. Advent is the season of waiting and preparation for the celebration of the birth of Jesus at Christmas. As we began the service this morning, and as the choir sang in the anthem this morning, there's a theme song for this season. It's Prepare the Way of the Lord. This is a season for getting ready. It's a time of preparation and a time of waiting, and so much more. Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann says of Advent, Advent is an abrupt disruption of our ordinary time, an utterly new year, new life, new time. As the culture around us throws itself headlong into a season of hope for increased spending and profits. We just completed the frenzy of Black Friday. I hope you didn't get bruised. And tomorrow is Cyber Monday for all of you who want to sit in front of your computer all day and spend your money that way. The allure of fantastic savings with TV commercials tempting us with images of the absolutely perfect gift, you know, the car in the driveway with the red ribbon on it, the perfect diamond from Andrews, all that. And the Hallmark Channel giving a seemingly endless run of made-for-TV Christmas season stories that started before Thanksgiving. That's what the world is doing. We in the church have already entered a new time of expectation and of hope for a reality that's far greater than what the culture can offer. And an urgent message to us to wake up and participate in what God is doing. Advent is meant to shake us out of our spiritual lethargy and invite us to participate in the newness of life that God is bringing in and through Jesus Christ. The message, though, is not just about a past event that happened in Bethlehem 2 millennia ago. It is also about the promise of future fulfillment. Voiced in the scripture readings for the season, in the expectation of Christ's coming again. We are urged, therefore, to reshape our lives so we are ready for his coming at any time. Not just at Christmas, not just at the end of history, whenever that's going to be, but at any time. We are reminded that we are not waiting for Christmas. We are waiting for Christ. We do so by living Christ-like lives that become evidence to the culture in which we live that Christ is present now. By the ways that we live the transforming faith and hope in Christ in which our lives are rooted, and that is a reality now. Is there any doubt in your minds that our world needs this message of hope and promise? Centuries ago, Isaiah announced a word of promise in a Jerusalem devastated by violence and conquest. As you hear these words, I want you to study this image. I hope you can see it in the brightness of this room. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and we may walk in his paths." For out of Zion shall go forth instruction and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O come, O house of Jacob, come. Let us walk in the light of the Lord. It leads me to a question, as Scripture often does. Is fulfillment of this hope and this dream even possible in our kind of world? Or have we given up on it and resigned ourselves to accepting violence and war as simply, well, the way things are and always will be? Have we given up hope that Isaiah's words can become real? Is this dramatic sculpture an empty symbol? If we so believe, then the season and words of Advent are an essential wake-up call. A wake-up call to the will of the one whose will is a world of peace with justice for all humankind and for all nations. Isaiah's words call us out of our closed minds and our disillusioned spirit. They call us to a better way of life, the highest way to live. They call us out of isolation and self-protection, out of fear and suspicion, out of inherited animosities, into a future of reconciliation of differences and a common commitment to peacemaking. How important it is that this sculpture stands in New York City opposite the buildings of the United Nations, an organization formed by the nations of the world following the horrors of two world wars in the 20th century that killed millions. An organization committed in its charter to peaceful negotiation and adjudication of differences between and among nations. Imperfect as the UN is, it stands as a living alternative to a world of competing claims and historic rivalries that can lead to terrible violence. It calls us to a fulfillment of the hope articulated by the prophet Isaiah. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And centuries after Isaiah, Jesus echoes his words and his hopes. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Advent is a season of waiting. Waiting in grace. Waiting, as Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, as people who carry restlessness around with them. Restlessness. A holy restlessness, if you will, for the realization of Advent's promises to be fulfilled. That restlessness is what motivates us to act with compassion and courage in behalf of those who are in need, to engage in acts of mercy to those who have been broken by life, to restore people who have lost everything to a place in the community, to offer possibility to those who are at a dead end, to inspire the self-centered and the self-aggrandized to give themselves for others, to open the way for relationship with Jesus to those who wonder if God has anything at all to do with their life. We don't have to be great theologians or super religious to do such things. We need only to be centered in the reality of the love of God in Christ as it has changed our lives. Advent's a time of waiting, a time of preparation, a time of hearing the urgent message, prepare the way of the Lord. Wake up. Advent's urgent message, wake up. Hear the words of hope. Catch the vision. In the words of Romans, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first became believers. The day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
I love words. I love how the use of a word or the turn of a phrase can help me see something differently or something I've never even seen before. It's happened again and again as we've been with the planning team sharing all of the words that you've shared about God's purpose for the church and how you've shared what that says to you and what you see when you use those words. So when I read the words that began chapter 2 in the book of Isaiah, the word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw, it caught my attention right away. He saw the word. And I understood what that meant, that words can help us see. We heard Jim read these words from Isaiah in the New Revised Standard Version. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. But I like to read from different versions. So when I read the words Eugene Peterson uses in the message, it sounds like this. He'll show us the way he works so we can live the way we're made. Bam! With those words, I could see. I meant to live the way God made me. In Jesus' life, we see how God works so that we can live the way we're made. So I invite you to see the ways in which Jesus is leading you to offer yourself and your gifts.